This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, third hour, Comedy Alive from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney. 3 hours every single day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 1-855-212-4227. Tweets blowing up today. The Popovich stuff, LeBron first hour, are the Cavs in trouble? And Oladipo, I mean, boy, I tell you, you know, I know we're going to do get into the Brown situation here.
Yeah.
But how much, you have to have so much respect, so much professional respect for a guy who was drafted, kind of knocked around, never quite fully reached out his maxed out his potential.
Yeah, putting an odd situation superstar out in Oklahoma City, and he comes here to Indiana.
Orlando, though, before that.
Orlando, that's right. I forget about that one.
Yeah, they drafted him.
And then now he's kind of back home, obviously, in Indiana U, where he went. It's kind of a perfect situation for him. And I don't know if I had ever really heard him talk or present himself. I thought he was great after the game.
Pretty measured, pretty smart, pretty confident.
For a young man who hasn't had a ton of experience being in that situation, being the star of a game, he was spot on, man. He's someone you could easily grasp onto and get a liking to, because he's going to be a star, you can tell.
Already is. Not going to.
True. Good
Already
point.
Is. He is a – and the only thing to debate is he going to be a superstar?
Yeah, you're right. You outplayed LeBron James in game one. On the road in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a star.
I mean, there's only a few teams here, and I just want to pop this up so I don't miss anybody. But the Pacers are one of them. Mm-hmm. Although, when Reggie was there, it was different. Maybe because they were so good every year, and they battled the Knicks, and the profile of New York kind of elevated.
Yeah, the hate. Yeah,
somewhat.
Yeah, the hate of Indiana because of Reggie.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say that the Knicks, that New York made the little tiny Indiana Pacers better. No, they were damn good. I mean, the Davis brothers and Reggie Miller and Byron Scott and Mark Jackson, Rick Smits from Maris. I mean, they were really good. But the Pacers are one of, and I'm looking at the teams now, are one of those rare NBA teams. Because in the NBA, if you're a star, it doesn't matter where you play. They're one of the one team, like a rare city, that kind of blends into the woodwork.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to not be noticed in the NBA.
Yeah.
And you had to look hard to notice Oladipo.
You did. And he had a great year this
That's
year.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, and even he said this after the game, how he said, you know, and don't be surprised. We were kind of like this all year long.
He did say
you
that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like we're the seventh seed, the fourth seed. So, of course, they expect to win at this point. They're only a couple games worse over the course of 82 than the Cleveland Cavaliers would. I mean, why would we think the Cavs should be this colossal favorite over them?
Yep.
And when they play the similar schedule – and did just as well.
By the way, Sekou Smith is going to join us next segment. Our buddy from NBA TV, analyst, get his thoughts on not just that series, but the two games tonight and everything that shook down, the four games on Saturday, the four games on Sunday. All right, so I guess Adam Schefter, I didn't see this live. Schefter was on SportsCenter doing the probably one of, 47 hits that they drag out of the poor guy every day. Schefter, especially, you can't sleep.
Especially 2 weeks leading into the NFL draft where
yeah,
it's all like, just put something out there.
By the way, Teak, I am convinced he sleeps in a suit. Like, there's certain people. Like John Rothstein, our John Rothstein, is one of those guys.
Yeah, agreed.
Who's always suited up.
Always
I
available.
I can't see Schefter in, like, a sweatsuit.
No.
Or jeans and a t-shirt and sandals. So I just can't see it.
It's funny because all the other guys that you see, the Glazers, even JLC.
JLC dresses down.
He's usually looks nice, but sometimes you catch him dressed down. I mean, hell, Ian Rappaport,
yeah.
I mean, he does it. He breaks most of his news on Instagram. With like the clown faces and the the glasses, all those things that you add on.
Which I can't those things. The day that I do that, delete my account. And probably delete me too.
But you're right.
Because I'm officially
Schefter
a loser.
Is always put together. And I think it's because they expect him to be on television.
Unless I do with my daughter.
True.
That's different.
True.
Then I
but they expect him to be on television at any time, any day of the week, anywhere he is in the country.
He's always working. So he was working this morning, and basically what he said was quite the interesting, shocking, we'll put quotes around that, bit of information is that we shouldn't be surprised if the Browns end up taking a quarterback at number one and at number four.
No chance.
We think about this team.
There's no chance that they're going to do this. They have too many other needs for them to waste two picks on two quarterbacks. Now, I understand the argument. You've had a hard time picking quarterbacks. You might as well take your shot at two. But there's a couple of things. One, I just mentioned, there's other needs on this Browns team. And two, if you have two first-round quarterbacks, the cap number collectively is about $11.5 million, which then you add that on to Tyrod Taylor, whose roster bonus just vested in March 16th and is set to make $10 million a year. So his cap hit will be 16. So you have 16 plus 11 and a half. You got like $27.5 million. It's roughly 15 to 16% of the total cap, which is high for your quarterback.
Yep.
Most teams have that around, you know, 13 or 14%.
Okay.
And that's for like the elite team. Like, that's like Aaron Rodgers,
yep,
you know, or Matt Ryan. And so to have that much of your cap spent on quarterbacks, and they're all kind of, well, Tyrod's not a star, but he's serviceable vet, and then two unproven, it just doesn't make any sense to me, business-wise. Now, emotionally, I could see why you would do it, especially if you plan on trading one down the line, but it just doesn't make a lot of business sense.
I think it makes great sense. I really do. I think it makes great sense because, you know, we could talk about salary cap and we could talk about, you know, quote unquote, wasting a top five, which would be the second pick option, a primary piece of real estate and basically, you know, burning it because obviously two quarterbacks can't play at once. And, you know, it's not a real palatable situation to have the contractually like Tiki just outlined. And you're 1,000% right with that. But, you know, organizations who have struggled to find answers to certain questions,
they have forever.
Sometimes you got to be a little unconventional. Sometimes you got to do a little something that might, you know, generate some laughter, some chuckles from the rest of us here, you know, a lot of people. And, you know, and again, do I think they'll do it? I don't think that they'll do it. But I listen, I don't think it's ludicrous at all. And here's the other thing. Now, Schefter positioned it at 1-4. If the economic, are you less turned? Are you more turned off by the economics of that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So how about this? So how
it's
about
too valuable of a pick to waste on a backup?
Okay.
Like one of them is definitely a backup.
True, but also a trade chip down the road.
Yes.
Which will allow you to get back the draft assets that you just relinquished.
Agreed.
In theory.
So in your theory here, it actually makes a ton of sense because the NFL in 2018, really going back to by 2015. Has become trade happy.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be no
started
trade.
With Matt Schaub. I think that was like the
right.
start of it.
I think it feels
like the backup
feels
that
like
everybody
it.
Wanted.
You're
right.
It
was probably a little bit before that, but it felt like that.
Yeah, it was probably Belichick actually that started it. Like we have a backup quarterback who we've grown. You don't know anything about him, but trust us, he's awesome. Matt Castle, trust us.
I'm telling you,
Ryan Mallett, trust us, he's awesome.
Good.
And they trade away these guys, these backup quarterbacks, and get assets for him. That's kind of where it started. But and now. You guys get traded in the middle of the season, and it's rare because it used to be
Garoppolo.
It used to be you never trade a guy in the middle of the season because he can't play. He's just too much of a playbook to learn, too much to, you know, inject someone from somewhere else into your system and have it work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case any longer.
So what if you were able to do this? What if you said, because I'm with you, again, contractually it's a lot to juggle there. You start, what'd you say, would be about 16, 17% of the cap?
Yes, with Tyrod.
I mean, with Tyrod.
With Tyrod and with two.
I got you. With Tyrod.
So all three of them.
Okay, with all three. What if you did something like, just to further this a little bit, what if you say, man, we can't do this at four for the reasons Tiki just laid out, but let's invite the Bills and or the Dolphins, jump up to four, we'll jump back to 11, we'll jump back to 12. What if the Cardinals, I don't know, I'm just throwing stuff out, the Cardinals from 15, would you be somewhat open, if you're running the Browns, take a quarterback at one, and then trade back with the Cardinals and take a quarterback at 15.
The economics are significantly different after you get out of the top 10. And we know this. We saw this with Odell Beckham when it's fifth-year option. Sammy Watkins, fifth-year option. Same draft, right? Sammy Watkins, fifth-year option, is almost $16 million.
He was fourth overall pick, right?
Fourth overall. Yep. Odell, who was 12, is 8. So it's like it's half. So once you get out of the top 10, it actually makes sense. And this isn't unprecedented, by the way, because we've seen this before. We've seen this happen with the Washington Redskins. Now, they did it first round and fourth round with RG3 and Kirk Cousins, and it actually turned out to be a saving grace for them. Even though in the long run it didn't, because they screwed up the situation with Kurt's contract, but they needed another quarterback. You know what I mean?
They paid Alex Smith more, almost more.
I can't even begin to explain it. Yeah. But whatever.
I tell you, it's been a tough ride being a Jets fan. I think it's been worse being, even though the Redskins have Super Bowl.
You know why? Because it's false
in my lifetime.
It's been so much false hope with the Redskins.
Yeah, it's been such disorganization. Mm-hmm. So many abrupt, resets.
And the crazy thing is, I don't think it's from this is just in a little Redskins tangent. I don't think it's from the lack of desire to win. I think it's a misunderstanding of how you win.
Oh, I definitely don't think it's a lack of desire. I think he wants to win too much, or he did.
Agreed.
Snyder.
I 100% agree.
I think he's calmed down a little, but there were the first 5-6 years, he was George Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
With a salary cap.
I know it.
Which is not good.
No.
All right. Listen, I want to play this for you here. So in the lines of what Schefter was talking about this morning on SportsCenter. So, our buddies out in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So I jumped on with them. Mike, what date was this? This is Baskin and Phelps. March 1st, Baskin and Phelps, right? 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. March 1st, hopped on. I actually jumped on to talk about LeBron of the Cavs. And we wound up talking about the Browns. I thought you guys might find this interesting about kind of what Schefter talked about this morning. Go ahead, guys.
I wonder, because I have not seen this on Twitter, I wonder if anybody's had the creativity to reach out to you on your show, on the phones, on social media, with this idea that I proposed 2 months ago. All right. If I'm the Browns, I would take a quarterback at 1, and I would take a quarterback at 4. If the real problem for them is identifying a franchise quarterback, why not increase the odds? If you pick 2, Jesus, one of these years, you got to get one of them right. And then the other one, you nurture and you trade in a year or two,
and
you get more value.
All right, listen, I'd just like to inform Schefter. My lawyers are going to call his people. Stop lifting my material, Schefter. Come on, find some new sources, buddy. This was not an original thought. I'm messing around with Schefter. Of course, he's great. But I thought about this 2 months ago, 3 mm-hmm. months ago. It's not as crazy. That was March 1st when I said it on their show.
Yeah.
I said it on this show late January, early February. It's not that crazy. You just have to be prepared to deal with the consequences of something that's perceived by many to be crazy.
Well, that's
almost everyone to be crazy.
Well, I mean, from a business standpoint, it actually isn't. Trades have happened on draft day, right? Not trading the pick, but trading the player you just picked.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. So,
sure, C. Webb and Antoine Jameson.
And it's
in the
mostly
NBA.
In basketball. It's mostly in basketball, but what's to prevent it from happening in the NFL?
Well, you'll draft a player for a team.
Yes.
Hey, I can't quite move up to you. Draft this guy, and then we'll hammer out the deal.
Right.
Later on tonight.
Yeah, we have a trade deal, and so
all the time it happens.
If there are teams that are draft crazy or quarterback crazy that just can't get there, right? The Buffalo Bills, it's going to be hard for them to get in the top 5.
Yep.
They have a 12 and they have a 22, but they just can't. I don't think they can. There's not enough assets for them to get up to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But if they work out some sort of agreement to post a draft, why not?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen crazier things in other sports. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, them taking 2 quarterbacks, because it becomes an instant asset. And if a trade happens post drafting of the quarterback at 4 before the draft ends, you now have more assets later in the draft.
That's right.
And we talk about the Browns needing players, right? They need a lot. And
although they've gotten some good ones this offseason.
They have,
but
they still need the depth.
Yeah.
They need the options.
Mm-hmm.
You may think this guy's going to pan out, but if he doesn't, we better have a young guy there that we think can ultimately fill that role.
Hey, listen, whether or not you think this is sheer lunacy, what Teague and I are throwing out here with maybe going 1-4 quarterback, the last thing the Browns should do is refute it. Let it hang out there.
Of course.
Let every team think, well, wow, would they really actually do that?
You're right.
I better give them everything they want.
You're right, because if somebody...
And then you have the framework of a deal.
If somebody at 12, like the Bills, want to actually get a quarterback...
Ding, ding,
like,
ding.
And they're taking 2 now?
They're getting terrified. They're going to get a little jumpy.
You're right.
You get jumpy in the war room, you make bad deals.
You're right.
They got to pounce on that. And Dorsey is the guy to do that. He can play this well. All right, coming up next, team, let's get back to hoops here. 2 tonight, Sekou Smith, NBA TV analyst, LeBron in the hole, Popovich's post-game antics, all that more coming up. Back to the NBA next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here. We're joined now by Sekou Smith, NBA TV analyst. We don't want to waste a whole lot of time. Get right into a lot of things to hit from the weekend. And obviously, fast forward to the start of the games tonight. New week here, playoffs underway. Sekou, Tiki and Tierney, welcome back, buddy. How you been?
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing okay, man. A couple things to address. I guess first the passive start by LeBron, which is kind of a theme that we've seen in years past, but I guess when it really doesn't work is when it really comes to light and certain people take issue with it.
Yeah.
I understand trying to get everybody involved and give them a little confidence, you know, the newcomers here. But the way it got off the rails, I thought he should have tried to abruptly change that. He didn't. How surprised were you, and how much do you think that changes for game two?
Well, I think, first of all, it has to change for game two, or they're going to be in a deep hole again. Guys, I think what it boils down to is the fear factor for LeBron and the Cavaliers from these other teams in the Eastern Conference is gone.
Yeah.
Nobody fears him anymore. So nobody's going to sit back and let LeBron press the issue with him. They're going to take it right to him. And I love the attitude of the Pacers and Victor Oladipo, you know, showing no signs of respect or fear, going right after the Cavaliers. And this has been a weird season from the start for Cleveland. And I thought game one only made it weirder. I mean, just a really strange way to operate as a group. And for LeBron, as the leader of that team, to go out and be so focused on LeBron all of a sudden, as opposed to lifting up the rest of those guys, is just strange.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know, it's I'm not ready to, and BT and I talked about this in our first segment, we're not ready to say, oh, this is the Pacers series and the Cavaliers and LeBron are getting bounced in round one. But let's say that does happen, right? Is there any chance that LeBron says, we're going to figure this out, we're going to, you know, rebuild here? Or does this expedite what we kind of have been speculating about, that he's going elsewhere?
You know, in my gut, I think he's out of there.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Regardless.
I think LeBron's the kind of guy who, you know, he doesn't make decisions on a whim. He's going to have his business calculated and do whatever he thinks is best for LeBron based on some serious research and intel. If he thought he could make it work in Cleveland, I think we'd have seen some signs already that was the case. But for them to trade the team, you know, six guys away and do all the different things they've done without it, supposedly without him, you know, having a say-so or veto power, that would make me nervous if I'm a Cavaliers fan, that this guy has decided already, you know, he's going to go elsewhere and he's just going to play the string out, because that's what it looks like to a lot of people, that LeBron is just riding it out and that when it's time to get out of there, he's going to be gone.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. When you say, and I know that you're not implying this because you watch the NBA every night and you know how hard he's played this year. He always plays hard and with great integrity, but how many minutes he's played. When people say, when I hear somebody say, you know, he's just kind of riding it out, to me that's got a negative connotation, like he's just on cruise control waiting for this thing to end, which is, and I know you're not implying that, but again, that's a complete.
I'm saying that. I'm saying it. Have you watched him on defense this year? He's been terrible.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, okay, go ahead.
He hasn't played to the level we're used to seeing him play on the defensive end, to a point where it's alarming. I mean, it's not just fatigue, too many minutes, the burden that he carries. Like I said, LeBron is not a casual guy. He doesn't do anything casually. He doesn't do anything that isn't plotted. And for him to officially go back and watch his defensive clips, you can get on NBA.com and look at the video box score. I mean, look, go watch his highlights. He's been a monster, an absolute monster. But if you watch him on defense, this is his best, perhaps his best, most well-rounded offensive season of his career, and I would argue the worst defensive season of his career.
Okay, Sekou Smith with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So you think that's just all, at least the defensive part, is all just based out of a lack of engagement and not natural human physical attrition?
Yeah, I think it's...
Okay.
I think a guy spends, what, 1.5 months a year on his body?
Yeah.
he picks and chooses where he wants to play hard, right? He wants to play hard on both ends and get a blow and take a game here, you know, off here and there to make sure his wind is right. He does that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. Look, I'm the last person to get on here and try and, you know, throw darts at somebody or disrespect them, but I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell you my eyes are lying.
Yeah.
lying to me. Hey, I'm not seeing what I'm seeing.
Hey, say cool. You know what we always used to say in the NFL? The eye and the sky don't lie. The film don't lie.
No question.
Yeah, on the film. Another team that we thought was going to have some problems because of some injuries that they've dealt with is Golden State Warriors. And against the San Antonio Spurs, they completely flipped the defense. They started, you know, different lineup, and it actually worked out fantastic for them. Popovich was frustrated. And I know you've been around him a lot. BT and I had this debate about an hour ago about Pop's methodology of talking to the media. As someone who's been there, because we see it from afar, but we've never actually, like, been there listening to Pop post-game. Is that contrived? Is the media in on it? Like, what are we thinking about Pop as a antagonist to media members? Because we see it so often. Eventually, you get tired of it.
We're not a part of the show. You know, we're not complicit with it. You know, he yelled at me last year during the playoffs when on an off day after Zaza Pachulia stepped under Kawhi's foot. You know, I was going to ask him about it the next day. They had media availability at their hotel in downtown Houston. And before I could even get my question out, he was launching into, you know, how idiotic the question was. He did his rant. He did a three-minute diatribe about how Zaza was a dirty player. And then he asked, did I have any other questions? You know, so it's like, I mean, I never even got the first one out.
Yeah.
All I got was his name out. But, you know, Pop is the lord of all things in San Antonio. And he gets a pass from a lot of people for good reason, because he's been super successful and presided over a franchise that up to now has really been able to hit all the buttons right, you know, to become a dynasty. But it's not an act. I mean, when he feels like blowing off some steam and we're in the way, we're going to catch it. And that's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with it. He's far from the most, you know, agitating coach I've ever dealt with.
Yeah.
He just happens to be the one with maybe the highest profile and the best resume.
Let me ask you this, Sekou. Whether it's you or somebody else, and I don't know how contentious it got, you know, between you two, it seems like you got a little bit, but whatever. How come nobody ever challenges him back?
Oh, we do. That's the part of the clip you don't see.
Ah.
When somebody says something back. Or when somebody, you know, butts heads with him. But, you know, what good does it do you in our business to go viral and to make that clip, you know? You know, we're adults. You know, we'd like to be treated as such, you know, with a certain amount of respect. If we can't do it, then so be it.
Mm.
But I'll say this about Pop. I've dealt with him on a zillion occasions. Only once has he ever blown up like that.
Yeah.
And it was last year. I mean, there have been other times I've dealt with him. He's been fantastic. And he gives you everything you're looking for as a reporter. And, you know, you couldn't ask for a better person to deal with. So it's, that's why I said it's not an act. It's just him when he gets, when he wants to go off, he goes off.
Mm.
But day to day, you know, he's a much different guy to deal with.
I got you. Sekou Smith with us, NBA TV analyst, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Can you somehow offer, you know, reasoning, I would use the word logic, but it's illogical. How in the world Karl Anthony Towns could get so few shots in 40 minutes on the court? How's that possible?
I was there. I mean, I was sitting in Toyota Center saying the same thing. There was a scout from an Eastern Conference team sitting next to me, and we were both talking about it the entire game. You know, like, there's no formula for Minnesota to win games or a series where Karl Anthony Towns is a stationary object in the picture. You know, Tom Thibodeau made it clear afterwards that the onus is on Cat to be more active, to get his body moving and to be engaged. But I will tell you that a lot of the problem was the Rockets. Clint Capella ate his lunch. And, you know, I don't know that Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins until last night, probably midway through the third quarter, finally understood when veterans say playoff intensity is different, that's probably when it clicked in their head. Like, this is what they're talking about. It's just a different level of physicality, a heightened sense of urgency. And the veterans that understand that pressed that upon everybody else on the floor. And I thought Karl Anthony Towns was just slow to react. I think he'll be much better in game two. I would be shocked if he doesn't come out and play infinitely better in game two.
Seiko, we only have a couple minutes here, but we know Golden State and San Antonio, how that game probably is going to play out, much like game one. But Philadelphia against Miami, Philadelphia was impressive as hell in game one, winning by 27 points. But the Heat, a little bit more veteran. Do you expect a letdown from this Philadelphia team, or does their foot stay down on the gas?
I don't expect a letdown, man. They've got such a good culture, and you got to give Brett Brown a ton of credit. It's not often a coach just, keep his job with all the losing they did.
Yeah.
But the fact that Philly never ran him out of there and allowed him to really, put a foundation in terms of how they were going to operate, just literally the culture of that team on and off the floor is shining through right now. They're young guys, play with a purpose, and understand the magnitude of the moment. And then the veterans do a fantastic job of, supplementing everything else they need. So I don't expect them to ease up. I think as they go deeper into the playoffs, if they are to do so, the competition will get better and they'll have to work harder. But I haven't seen any shake or any flaw in their focus, man. They've been really, really locked in. You look at the way they've won these past few weeks without Joel Embiid, that tells you about a team that is playing with a heightened sense of urgency and understanding about what's at stake. There's a wide open door in the Eastern Conference right now,
and
they could be the team that runs through it.
No doubt. Seiko, appreciate it, buddy. We'll keep reading you, keep watching you. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate you hopping
on. All right,
guys.
Appreciate it.
Be good, Seiko.
Don't take any nonsense from Pop, all right? Put him in his place, will you? Thanks, Seiko. Hey, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Quick way to save a little money, just switch over to Geico. Whether it's homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, you can get it all at geico.com. Up next, Tiki, we have The Blast. First, though, Rich Ackerman's update. Here is Rich coming at you.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, we're going to get to The Blast here in a second. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And CBS Sports Network. Time, Teak, to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes in from Luke, at Luke_LUC, like Luke Longley, not like Luke Skywalker. Watch the little star. Oh, I got a question for you about Star Wars. I want to write that down. I don't want to forget that. It's a very interesting. I'm very curious how you can answer this. All right, so Luke at _in_SLT. What should the Pats do with their backup quarterback position this year?
I think they're definitely going to draft one. Some people are speculating that they're going to use their assets to move up in the first round and get one. But if they don't do that, I think Luke Falk could be interesting from Washington State. He had a pretty good completion percentage. He's got to learn how to get more accurate. And then this kid, Kyle LaLetta, who had a very good senior day or a senior bowl week from Richmond, could be the next
project. This kid was tatted up,
project.
Right?
Could be the next project for Bill Belichick and the Pats. So we'll see. I think they'll take one third or fourth round, not in the first round.
Okay. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. On a very interesting Monday, some good stuff on LeBron out of the shoot. By all means, go and download our podcast. It's free. Teak, where do they get it from, buddy?
TikiandTierney.com. You find all of our podcasts from all of our shows, and then also, more importantly, a lot of our interviews, some of the great ones that we've done, including Mike Socia, who's the most recent one that was awesome, talking about Shohei Ohtani, who's been balling.
He got rained out over the weekend.
When
he gets rained out, it's misery.
You're right.
Watching pitch.
You're right.
Here's my question about Star Wars for you, and we'll get to The Blast here. So
it's just out, by the way, right?
What?
It's on demand now, I believe.
What do you mean?
The latest one that was.
Oh, I go to the theaters. What do you think? I'm you, and I wait for that. I go right to the theater, man.
But the latest one is out on.
It just hit now.
It just hit now on demand. Wherever you get it on your cable
provider.
So that was
The Force Awakens was 2015.
Yeah.
You saw the Solo trailer, right?
Yes.
Okay, that looks pretty damn good. And I saw the origins of a Boba Fett trailer, which I guess they scrapped.
Huh?
It looked awesome.
Really?
Yeah, I guess it's on the cutting room floor for now. Saturday night, we were watching, flipping through channels, and Kinsley was down. She's my little one, for those who don't know. She's not quite two. Colton, a little more than three. So, he's watching Hoops with Daddy, and Daddy flipped the channel. Jen was taking a shower, going through the whole process, milk, cookies, bed, et cetera. The whole, it takes an hour and a half. the process. And
Except Brooklyn, it's like 2.5 hours now.
Is it really?
She just doesn't want to go to bed.
But now does she go in the room willingly and walk out, or she just goes kick it and scream into the room
to
start? She
doesn't go into the room until she passes out.
See, that's tough. Okay, it's not. We don't quite have that. Maybe we will down the road. I hope not. But we're watching whatever we want, watching hoops. And there's a commercial I flipped through. I guess it was on TNT. Mm-hmm. And then one click below it, I guess on TBS or above it, was Force Awakens.
Oh, nice.
So I'm like, oh, I gotta show Colt this. So here's my question. And it was a little, I realized it was a little bit too graphic when the stormtroopers come down. Yeah. They just plow the whole.
It's intense.
It was intense.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't
it's
know.
It's not like grossly graphic. It's just very. Really
the only
intense.
Blood is on the helmet of the stormtrooper. Yeah. What's his name? I'm forgetting all the characters. Yeah. I just know. Whatever. So I'm like, this is a little bit intense. It's a good way to describe it. I don't know if I want my 3-year-old to watch. So I changed the channel. And then I started thinking, I'm saying, invariably, when I do introduce Colton and Kinsley to Star Wars, what sequence do I start? Do I start with order that I started? A New Hope, Empire, Return of the... what order you go one through?
No. You go.
Why?
You go 4, 5, 6.
Why?
And then 1, 2, 3. You don't go 1, 2, 3?
You go 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Just skip 1, 2, 3
well,
all the way.
I'm with you. They were terrible.
They are so bad.
I hated them. But
now, for the record, for little kids, the first one, Phantom Menace,
yes,
it's kind of like a kids movie.
That's why I didn't like it. It was cheesy.
So, but maybe like when he's 5 or 6, it would make more sense to him to have a more kind of kid-oriented Star Wars to introduce him into it.
What's the cartoon? The cartoon is
Clone Wars.
Clone Wars.
Yeah, that was cool too. But that's more of an adult cartoon.
It actually confuses you though, the Clone Wars, because the stormtroopers are like good guys.
Well, what is that true?
Yeah, it's confused. It's before the
gotcha. It's gotcha.
So it's confusing.
Well, aside from what is the safest introduction or the... I'm thinking about sequential
4,
stuff.
4, 5, 6.
But I'm thinking about... You think so?
Yeah.
But
you definitely got to go 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, I guess.
You have to.
Why? It's because we had that?
No, because it just... It makes more...
But it wasn't written. He just couldn't... He
I know.
It
just makes more logical sense when you see it 4, 5, 6. Because...
But have you ever watched it 1 through 9? Maybe it makes logical sense that way.
I have not.
That's what I'm saying. It might.
Yeah.
Probably make more sense.
Yeah, but see,
you have to remind yourself what the hell happened.
But 1, 2, and 3 are so damn convoluted.
I couldn't stand those.
But they're so convoluted. By the time you get to 4, you're like, all right, what the hell is going on? You know, it would mess with your mind, I think.
Okay.
So I start simply.
Tweet us. If you have actually done this with your kids, I'm curious what... The sequence was.
I want to do that for myself, actually.
You have to. Get us on Twitter. Get us at Tiki and Tierney. Let me know. You ready to blast away?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
Hi there, Tiki. Here we go. Colin Kaepernick tweeted over the weekend a quote from Jackie Robinson about not standing for the anthem from Jackie. What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I cannot stand and sing the anthem. I cannot salute the flag. I know that I am a black man in a white world. That was Jackie Robinson in his autobiography right before he died in 1972, which gives you some perspective on what was going on then. The Civil Rights Act had only been passed about 12 years earlier. Racial equality was nowhere near where it is now. And so while it is relevant to an extent, it's not justification, I think, for what Colin Kaepernick is saying. It is a great historical moment to reference, and so because of that, I'm okay with it.
It's anything with Kaepernick at this point is interesting, and you want to give it some thought and look at it from a few different angles. My thoughts are it's an incredibly powerful quote, and that's probably the right day to retweet that and repurpose that, certainly on Jackie Robinson Day. You know, I don't know that he's saying this, but I think it needs to be said. The comparisons, you know, what Jackie Robinson had to face compared to somebody like Kaepernick, or even when you were coming up, isn't that? I mean, it's so utterly and inherently unfair to Jackie Robinson to remotely position them on the same planet or in the same orbit. But, you know, I wrote something really nice about Jackie that I want to run by you after. I think it's powerful, and I think it's a good message to get
when
out there.
Jackie Robinson came up, when Jackie Robinson came up in the fifties, people were still being lynched.
Oh, no doubt. Actually had a letter that was written to him, handwritten, that if he shows up at Crosley Field, they were going to kill him.
Yeah,
it's horrific. All right, next one here. Spurrier admits on DA. Oh, DA had Spurrier today. Nice. That he's recruiting Tim Tebow to the AAF. Should Tebow get back to football? and leave baseball. Listen, I like Tim Tebow a lot. I root for Tim Tebow. I remember two Fridays ago, we had the chain text with the chain text that we do have. I texted these guys. I'm like, Tebow just went yard. First pitch he saw in Double A. I'm rooting for Tim Tebow actively. He's a good person.
And we had him on the show. I like him.
Yeah, and he's got raw power. And what he's doing is already probably achieved more than what people thought he would do in baseball. Stick to baseball or stick to broadcasting. It's over. You're not a quarterback. Not happening. You can't throw it. You just don't have it to throw the ball.
This is inferior talent. Please. This is not a chance for him to get back into the NFL. But I say go for it. Get back into the game.
Why?
Because it's an Orlando franchise, by the way. It's the Orlando franchise, which is not far from Gainesville.
Is he going to get a piece of the team? Make some money off it?
Maybe.
Otherwise, how does he benefit?
Maybe. Do that. Get a piece of the team.
Well, I didn't know that wasn't part of the question. He is a busy. He's doing quite all right for himself.
I know it.
Patrick Green's been rocking the green jacket basically since he walked off the 18th green. Hasn't taken it off yet at Augusta.
Dude,
everywhere.
Awesome.
Chick-fil-A, late-night circuit. You okay with this?
Awesome, Patrick Reed. We had a great interview with Patrick Reed.
It was awesome.
The day after he won the Masters. Go check that out at tikiandtierney.com. Download the Patrick Reed podcast.
He was great.
It was actually really good.
Yep.
And we addressed some of the things that obviously he's gone through in his life. I think this is great. If you win the green jacket, sleep in that thing.
I think it's great, too. But I'm a Patrick Reed fan. I think we're getting to the point where it's time to take it off,
nope.
Man. I'll tell you this, though. I think this is a calculated effort by his PR team to humanize him a little bit.
I agree.
Show up at the Chick-fil-A. You know, you're going to get on Instagram.
Become a meme.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not a bad thing, but it's 2 weeks, dude. Take off the jacket. Is he still wearing the pink shirt, by the way?
I don't know.
All right, so Duke loses its fifth starter to the draft. Don't worry. They'll still win 25 games next season, I'm sure. Without even knowing who's on the team, basically.
Well, they got four top 10 picks.
That monster dunker, Zion Williamson, right down in, I think, Virginia. Where is he? Not Virginia. Carolina, maybe?
Yeah, I think he's in the Carolina area.
He's somewhere down south, but not quite as south
as
Florida
ridiculous.
Or Georgia. I've seen highlights. I think he's a lefty, too, right?
He's enormous.
Has Coach K sold out?
No.
Is it just throwing the actual question rather than... You don't think he sold out?
No, I don't think he sold out. I think this is the reality of college basketball. Now, the question will be, can he replace all five starters with these young players, and how good is Duke going to actually be next year?
They will not win the championship.
They don't have a Grayson Allen.
Continuity.
Or Grayson Allen, a vet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some kids on the team that are... upperclassmen.
Yeah, they just
but
get passed over. They just get a little deeper on the end of the bench when the studs come in. All right, move down
they
a couple spots.
They
get the towel. You're not playing.
They didn't play.
You know what he's done? He hasn't sold out. It's called adapting and adjusting. You know what? He's doing what he's got to do. Okay, Rick Pitino, speaking of doing what you got to do, is reportedly interested in coaching Siena, my conference, the MAC.
What happened with the Siena's head coach?
He flipped out. He's a hot wire. Actually, I know a buddy. I know a lot of people who know him, and I've actually met him. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a loose cannon in terms of he's a little emotional, but I do like him. Patzo's his name. He's gone. So, anyway, can we see Siena hiring Pitino? First of all, the answer is no. It's a Catholic school. It's a good academic school. I think it would be very... It would be desperate. I do think they might hire Patrick Beilein. Mm-hmm. That very well probably will happen. I can see a team that can monetarily reap the rewards more. Like, in the MAC, you're only going to have, like, 5,000 or 6,000 max.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to monetize it that much.
You're right.
If you make the move, it's got to be solely for money. And I don't think Siena makes enough money to sacrifice their soul for Rick Pitino.
And what are you paying Rick Pitino?
I think he'd take anything. He'd probably take $500,000.
No,
he would. What's the coach?
Yeah.
Turn the, win a tournament game, then you leave, you go somewhere else.
I still don't see that happen.
No, they're not going to hire him.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, so, he's... Why don't you tell me a little later there, DC? Come on, a little later. He's a guy that, if I would... I'll tell you who I would hire. If I'm an Atlantic 10 school, like a bottom feeder...
Yeah.
That doesn't have a Catholic affiliation or any sort of religious affiliation. And, you look your people in the eyes and you say, this is solely about the money. Mm-hmm. That's it. And everybody gets on board.
Be real about it.
Yeah, you can't sell that at a small Catholic school.
No.
I wouldn't. I don't think you can. Hey, the NFL draft is almost here. Nobody covers it better than the NFL Network. Go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft begins on April 26th on NFL Network and Fox. And by the way... The night before, on the 25th, from 8 to 11 primetime, right here on CBS Sports Network, myself and Adam Schein.
Nice.
Fletch Dog, maybe get Amari Spellman on the show as a guest.
The first of
and
the
Amy
year.
And Amy Trask.
The first, oh, actually not the year, because you did it in the week leading up to the Super Bowl. The first in the football year.
Primetime draft show.
There it is.
The one thing I said about Jackie, I said, you know, it's easy to retweet tributes honoring the great Jackie Robinson, but when you do that, also try to envision yourself walking in his steps. I mean, if he failed, he fails two or three generations behind him.
Yeah, right. And a lot of people wanted him to fail.
No doubt. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great Monday. Peace!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.